from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, back in here. If you were watching at the break, if you're watching in the chatty house, I might tell that story someday.
Oh, I want to hear this story.
No, it's just, it's like, it's just, it's a lot. It's one of those things that it's probably an overshare by me.
Oh, okay.
I'll do it eventually. We're talking like I was 18.
Yeah.
Like freshly 18. Hmm. So I was dumb. I was an idiot.
Working at Copeland's, like it got crazy, especially the downtown plaza. Although like I worked at the Hilltop store, the Berkeley store, the Emeryville store. Like it got crazy at almost every store.
Mm-hmm.
So some of my better stories, though, even from the Roseville store,
mm-hmm.
like good stuff.
Actually, Run DMG, this dude's always talking trash and I hate him for it. but no, I actually got in more trouble because my roommate was with me and I did not snitch.
Oh.
So get off my gosh darn back. Oh, I almost said a bad word. Get off my gosh darn back.
That's funny.
Oh, but we got in trouble. Ho. Get out of here.
Kyle's lost his mind today.
That's probably Zach Collins.
It probably is.
That's probably Zach Collins in the chat.
You just want to punch him.
It just makes me so mad.
No. That's amazing.
That's fine. I appreciate that. Appreciate the haters. I get it. I don't like me either.
Kyle, I love it.
Let's talk Kings defense. Give them 122 points to the Spurs. What did you think of Keegan Murray defensively last night? Because at one point, you leaned over and you're like, man, Murray just does not look engaged. I meant to follow up with that, but.
No, I don't think that I said that. I don't remember that. I thought he was good.
Because you said that, and then they immediately got a steal, and he leaked out for a dunk.
Oh.
Like early third quarter.
Oh, yeah. Now I do remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming out of halftime, he did not look. He looked a little slow to the punch.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, he got the fast break, and that kind of woke him up.
Yeah.
And, like, look, I think this team has a problem where they have to figure out ways to get him involved.
Mm-hmm.
And because if you're just going to make him a defensive player, number one, that's not, like, optimized.
Yeah.
Keegan Murray. But also, like, he's going to be better defensively if he's also rolling offensively. He mm-hmm. is. He feeds off of it. Like, every NBA player feeds off their offense.
Yes.
That's who they are.
You're a weirdo if you don't.
Yeah, you're
if
a
any
weirdo.
Player's like, I really, the what gets me going off on the NBA court? Defense.
Yeah, then you're Pat Bev.
I love ball denial.
You're okay. Pat Bev, and everyone knows is crazy.
Right.
That's what it comes down to.
Nobody wants to be Pat Bev.
No. Like, if you're going to be a defensive-only guy,
yeah,
that's fine, but, like, the mentality is totally different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so you're a little... And you're never going to be, like, a star that way.
No. Yeah. You might make some money. You might make some money, but...
And you'll play for a long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I think I'm struggling with Keegan Murray a lot because I am such a big fan of his. I was believed he was the player the Kings should draft at number 4. But I go back to the whole recalibrating thing, and maybe last night was just kind of where he lands in the pecking order of this Kings team eventually. And again, I'm talking now. I'm zooming out and looking big picture, not necessarily about last night, and not even necessarily about the rest of this season, because there's only so much growth that you can undergo during a season.
Yeah,
but I'm like, man, maybe if he's going to be the player that just, and I know Devin Vassell had a huge night last night, and that's what it is. But if he's going to be the player that when a Devin Vassell comes in, just like, yep, Keegan's guarding him. And sometimes that player is going to have a good night and stuff happens, but Keegan's going to guard that guy. And then offensively, he's going to just fall in, you know, if he gets a bunch of threes up, maybe he scores a bunch of points. But offensively, for the most part, it's going to be Fox. It's going to be Sabonis. It's going to be Herter or whatever other shooting guard they have on the court. And then Keegan is going to be less impactful on that end.
I don't know that that's going to be the case, though. So for me in this game, I mean, you got Fox goes for 28. You got Sabonis goes for 22. You got Monk and Herter each score 21. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that you can have, I mean, you can, but having 5 20-point scorers mm-hmm. in a game is pretty difficult.
Really hard.
And I think Keegan ends up with 16. Like, that's okay.
No, that's what I'm saying, is he took 10 shots, 4 threes, and he scored 16 points, and he had a good game.
Yeah,
and did he lock down Devin Vassell? No, that didn't wind up happening. But we've seen more nights than not where he's been just really, really good at limiting the other team's best perimeter player. And maybe that's just what this is. And I think that's okay. Because you're right. If you are going to have Fox going for 30-ish, and you have Sabonis going for 20-ish, and you have Monk off the bench having a really productive night, and you get a big night from a guy like Kevin Herter, 8 of 14, 5 of 8 from beyond the arc, that's just not, I don't think they need to, in my mind, this is where I'm coming from on this.
Okay.
There's been, all year I've been like, man, they need more from Keegan. They need to get him more involved. I want to see him create more. I want to see him do X. I want to see him do Y. I want to see him do Z. And maybe this is where he can maximize his value for Sacramento, where he is kind of third, fourth on the pecking order, where, hey, maybe he's not the number 2 scorer.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is year 2 Keegan Murray, though, mm-hmm. right? And I want to wait and to really pass judgment on who he's going to be as a player
mm-hmm.
until we get a little bit deeper into his career.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still think he can be a 20-point-per-game guy, and I also think that it's going to be situational. And for one of the few times this season, I thought the Kings did a really good job in the first half of riding the hot hand, which was Kevin Herter. Yes. Like, he hits the first one, you're like, oh, you're like, all right. So, like, go ahead, give him the hot hand, guy. That's fine. If that's what we're going to do, like, go ahead and, you know, give him an opportunity to shine for a little while. And then by the time that you come back around to him, you know, a guy like Keegan, you've already had, you know, Fox wake up. You've had Sabonis start to score. And then, you know, we get to a point where in the third quarter, it became Monk's time. And yeah. Monk was third and fourth quarters. You know, Harrison Barnes tried to get it going a little bit, and it worked okay. But he doesn't end up with a whole lot of shot attempts. I just didn't think that there was a lot of opportunity.
Malik Monk had 14 points in the second half and shot 1 3-pointer.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
been really
far off from three.
I love that he's getting downhill, though, and figuring out a way to score without needing to shoot from deep.
Yeah, I'm not sure like how long the stretch is, but he's at 37.3 on the season. And if I, you know, like Monk has not, it's been a while since he shot the ball really well from three.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he needed a break like everybody else. But like I just pulled up, I can see over his last 14 games, He's shooting 29% from three on 4.4 attempts per game. So that's a pretty substantial sample size. The good thing is that last season when he had this, he really, really struggled for like a huge amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
It collapsed his whole game. Right now, he's still shooting 50% from the field over those 14 games, and he's still averaging 15.6 per game. So he's not allowing the three-point sort of downturn to wipe him out.
Yeah,
and
it's huge.
He's picking and choosing his threes, mm-hmm. and when they go, you're going to see more. Mm-hmm. And when he's not hitting early on, he's not going to force it. Yep. And to me, that's a good thing.
21-3-2 with two steals and two blocks from your sixth man, you'll take that every time.
Oh, yeah.
I want to, before we hit the break, I want to nitpick as a bonus thing real quick.
Oh.
He was good last night, obviously. I get the hot hand thing, but also...
Shoot the three.
Shoot it, dog.
Shoot it, bro.
Please shoot it.
We saw it. Well, it was like...
You heard the people in the crowd.
Like, oh.
You heard people in the crowd, because where you sit... With at Golden One Kings Media, you're basically sitting in the stands.
Yeah, you're right above the stands.
Yeah, like, so you can hear what's going on. And there were multiple possessions, I believe, in a row where ball gets swung out. It's Domas all alone at the top of the key. Nobody home. Nobody within 15 feet of him.
They were playing it like Zach Collins was standing in the lane.
Yeah, nobody.
He was down by the basket.
And Sabonis would look, and you'd see him kind of like start to raise up, and then he'd dribble and look for Kevin Huerter. And I was like, I respect the hell out of trying to feed the hot hand. Kevin Huerter is 4 or 5 in the first half from three. I respect that so much. And I get it. And I understand, especially when you're a pass first player like Sabonis, where it's like, I'm going to get the offense going. On the other hand, I get both sides. Like, I know there's two sides to this coin, and I totally understand both. But from my perspective, it's like, dog, if he shoots that with a little bit of regularity and he hits it at 36%, where all of a sudden Zach Collins now has to come out and guard that shot or respect that shot a little bit more. Now all of a sudden we talked about offensive wrinkles yesterday. Now there's a couple different things they can be doing. And now all of a sudden Sabonis is getting easier looks for guys off of back cuts because Zach Collins has to come out and close out on the three when Sabonis gets it up at the top. And it just, there, I think it was like three possessions in a row where he's like, get it to Huerter, who wasn't even open. It wasn't like, hey, he's wide open, passing up a good shot for a great shot.
No, that's how Huerter missed his first three, was Sabonis put him in a bad spot.
Right.
And he tried to clear space and tried to step to the left by the, like, by the out of bounds.
Yeah.
And shot a three and missed.
Yeah.
It was because Sabonis had put him in a bad spot near the end of the shot clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sabonis hasn't taken a three in the last two games. He hasn't hit a three in the last three. And that's, again, I need him to take more. He's shooting 42.6% from three.
I don't want, we talked about DeMarcus Cousins earlier, who got up to like 5 a game that 1 year, right?
Yeah.
I'm not looking for that. I need 2-ish. Give me 2, maybe 2.5. Just make defenses come out and close, because you know he can hit it.
Here's a stat for you on the season. Boy. 4 times this season he shot more than 2 threes. 4 times, and he's shot 3 in those 4 games. And it's 2 for 3, 2 for 3, 1 for 3, 1 for 3.
If he did that every single game, Zach Collins would not be able to camp out in the lane.
Yeah.
And he would have to come out and guard the 3. Like I said, super nitpicky.
Yeah.
But that's where that's at. Good, bad, and ugly from the Kings win last night. We'll have that for you next, and we'll also talk about the good news for the 49ers out of the NFL salary cap. That announcement came out today. We'll talk about what that means next on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hanging out with you until noon on a Friday. D'Lo and KC take over then, and then they'll take you to 4.
All right.
Yeah. In case anybody was panicking yesterday that D'Lo and KC, I don't know what's going on. In case anybody was panicking yesterday that D'Lo and KC were not here at noon, they will be here at noon today.
Sweet.
Let's talk about the good, bad, and ugly. from last night.
All right.
Last night's Kings game. It was, it's difficult not to find good out of a Domantas Sabonis performance at this point. Like, it's just pencil it in. Just, hey, one of the good things last night was the King Center.
Yeah, but I have this thing where I just can't, like, he's doing something that I think needs to be recognized all the time. And you know what? Like, if your kid gets straight A's, you don't stop praising them because they get straight A's.
Mm.
You keep praising them because they got straight A's, because it's an accomplishment that needs to be put out there. Like, mm-hmm. I asked De'Aaron about it last night. I asked Malik Monk about it last night. Malik Monk said he's our anchor. Like, he's mm-hmm. the guy that, like, we go where he goes when it comes to Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's something to what he's doing right now that is, like, how in the world do you have 38 consecutive double-doubles? How, and even last night's game, you could tell, like, right away, he got up to, like, 10 points, 6 assists, and 3 rebounds at mm-hmm. half. And you're like, oh, he might not get there, because assists are very dependent on other people.
Mm-hmm.
And rebounds, he can go and do that himself. Well, he finishes game with 21, 11, and 11, or 22, 11, and 11, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, it's incredible to watch somebody who's so consistent and consistently great at their craft. And again, he's leading the league in all of these categories. 51 out of 55 games, mm-hmm. he's got a double-double.
Yeah.
19 games, he's got a triple-double. He's pacing in the second half of the season to average a triple-double. It's wild.
Okay, so if he is their anchor and they're going to go as he goes, that's great. I love that idea. Do that. Because the effort he shows on a nightly basis does not permeate through the rest of the roster on a nightly basis.
That's very true.
So that's fine. I love that Malik said that. I am here for that. I am here for that attitude. Then follow it.
Yep.
Match the effort night in and night out. And if you do that, then we will be sitting here talking about a much more dangerous team come April 15th.
Yeah, we'd be watching a 60-win team.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because that's what that guy brings.
Mm-hmm.
That guy can be the second best player on a 60-win team.
Mm-hmm.
He's that good.
Yes.
And that's something, you know, I know that Fox said, like, he needs to be an MVP candidate. He is an MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are things where you're pointing to and saying, hey, look, you got a great player on your team. Like, live up to, like, those expectations. And I'm with you, Kyle. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah. And when a person wins an MVP and they go, you know, my teammates, like, that's kind of where that manifests.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I just want to thank my teammates. Like, okay, yeah. Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, so if they do that, if they match that energy that Sabonis brings night in and night out, the Kings will be much better off. What else did you see that was good last night?
Fox. I mean, mm-hmm. again, like, he stuffed the stat sheet. He had 9 assists, 28 points, but it's the 2 steals. It's the momentum-changing plays that he's able to have, and then the backpack. Like, he just, like, hey, let's go. Let's finish this mm-hmm. thing off.
Yep.
Those are things where you're like, okay, look, if he's going to start hitting the mid-range, and like, last night, he got back to the mid-range a lot.
Yes.
I was like, hey, look at that. That's the player we saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, show me the mid-range guy. You can be the three-point guy. You can be the guy that goes mm-hmm. to the rim. But also, like, be a three-level scorer, because that's where you really cook. And so I thought he was great. And then the final play, the defensive play, like, yep. there might be 5 players in the league that could do something like that. Like his ability to yeah. recover in that moment, the speed and quickness it took to get there and to come up with that play,
yep.
absolutely brilliant.
Yep. Fox shot 6 threes last night, one of them in the fourth quarter. He went 4 of 5 from the field, 1 for 1 from beyond the arc, made both of his free throws in the fourth quarter, finished with 11 points. He's a fine, fine point guard.
Yeah.
The bench contributing like they did was a plus as well, where it wasn't just Malik Monk, but we talked about Chris Duarte a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lyles didn't shoot it great last night. He was 1 for 5, but he is a better shooter than that. He got some open looks. That was the other thing last night.
Yeah, while we were sitting there, we were talking about it.
That's yeah, funny. They had so many open threes that just didn't go down.
They did, and also I thought that watching Trey Lyles move without the ball is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many points where he, like, snuck around the perimeter and moved to a new location and was wide open and just kept giving the passer, like, an open look to him.
Yeah.
He missed them, like, a good portion of his, one of six, something like one of five. But
One of five, yeah.
Yeah, the fact that he knows how to move in space and relocate and to move off ball so well, it really does stand out.
Yeah.
Stands out in a game like that.
One of the things that stood out as a bad thing last night, speaking of off ball movement, right after we got done talking about Trey Lyles and his ability to find space and create passing lanes that give him open threes, we watched Davion Mitchell bring the ball up slowly, then get rid of it, and then run to the corner where Trey Lyles was already standing.
And Trey was like, I'm standing here, bro.
It's just two dudes standing 6 feet apart looking at each other.
And then Trey moved up, got the ball and shot it.
Yeah, caught it above the break. He's like, all right, I'll shoot it from over here.
Fine. I don't know where we're going from here. We're all stacked up over here.
So fun. Because literally it was you and I having this discussion while the Spurs are on offense, Kings come back down the other way, and then the opposite of good off-ball movement happened.
Kyle, again, the Davion Mitchell thing.
It's
very odd because what we do is we watch De'Aaron Fox get the ball over the half-court line. Every once in a while, he slow plays it.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, he gets it over at around 20 seconds.
Yeah.
The second Davion Mitchell steps on the floor, it's 17 seconds left on the shot clock.
Yeah.
Like, it's instantly. He slows the game down by 2 to 3 seconds getting the ball across half court.
Just getting the ball across.
Yeah. And I didn't get it at all. And then I was watching some of the things the Spurs were doing, where the Spurs were doing, Jones barely getting the ball across at like 8 seconds. I think at one point you said, man, the Spurs are going to get an 8 seconds.
It was crazy. And it wasn't like the Kings were, oh man, hey, this full court press they're putting on is tough. Like, no, they were just taking their sweet ass time getting the ball across.
I know. Like, why are you taking so long to get into your offense? And then they're like third in the league in pace. I'm like, none of this makes sense.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe the game was just a little bit mucked up in that way. But at the same time, what was the final score?
127-122.
Yeah. I mean,
149 points.
Still, well, that's because both teams shot over 50%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of weird. What else we got? We got bad. I don't know. They never put the Spurs away. I thought that was bad.
Mm-hmm. The overall, you have this in the notes, and I had mentioned the bench. The overall production from the bench.
Yeah.
Where you have Chris Duarte with 6 points, that's fine. Hit a couple of threes, okay. But Lyles, 4 points on 6 shots, not good enough. Alex Len got all the backup center minutes last night. He was just okay.
He didn't. Trey Lyles got a lot of the backup center minutes because they did go small for quite well.
Sure. No, you're right.
Yeah, they did go small.
JaVale McGee did not play last night.
No.
But Alex Len did. He played 14 minutes. He's 2 of 5.
So maybe he did get most of the backup center minutes.
4 boards.
Okay.
He was just okay. Just okay.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he did a good job against Zach Collins. And like that, talk about two guys who like to frustrate other people. Like they just look like, you know, they were just like getting under each other's skin the whole time. Like, I don't know.
I understand, Alex.
Yeah.
Zach Collins gets under my skin.
You get it. Okay. The ugly. They couldn't stop Vassell. And that's the worst 3-point shooting team in the league. And they finished 11 of 25 from three.
44%. We are going to celebrate the day the Kings hold a team under 40% from three.
What's crazy, look at the first month and a half of the season, 2.5 months of the season.
They're fine.
They were totally fine.
It's fine.
This is like something that happened.
Either that or it's a crazy coincidence. The teams just have good nights when they face the Kings.
I guess. Yeah, wild.
It's weird. NBA salary cap stuff. We'll dive back into the Kings win over the Spurs. I want to talk more about Victor Wembanyama and seeing him in person for the first time. If you saw him in person last night, let us know your thoughts in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. And then we'll have the handoff. One of D'Lo and Casey will be in here to take us up to noon, where we will hand it off to D'Lo and Casey right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm telling you, dude, you talk about food or drinks, and people are going to have takes. A lot of really good drink takes in the chatty house today. YouTube.com/ESPN1320, Twitch.tv/ESPN1320 if you would like to participate in the chatty house. You mentioned that you were talking about all the games you've covered. And you don't have an exact number, but you know how many you've missed, and you had all these. You've covered March Madness, and you've covered NBA Finals. You've done all this. You've done all this really awesome stuff. And you were talking about, you're like, let's see. Somebody asked that you were drinking at a bar that you were at one
year.
And you went, let's see. That year, it would have been, because you go through life, and your drink tastes evolve.
Yeah.
And you just have your go-to drink. Whether it's alcoholic or non-alcoholic, you have your go-to, this is what I drink.
Mm-hmm.
And if particularly, I think with booze, that changes throughout your life.
Oh, totally.
And it's so funny that everybody can date something to what they were drinking.
Yeah, I can almost for sure tell you like what I was drinking that night, and I, like that was Mike Zarin's bar, the assistant GM for the Celtics. And then I remember that he hit like a spot across the street from Celtics arena, and Warren Legere was there.
TD Garden?
The great Warren Legere, who is an agent.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat, Jax AC 30?
That's just wrong. I don't know what they're talking about.
No, I have no. Everclear and prune juice?
What?
Arrest them.
What is happening?
Yeah, FBI, we found him.
What?
Jesse, do you have a flag in there?
What is happening?
I don't know if Jesse's.
I don't even know what that means. That's tough. I don't know what to say there. I do like to make...
Everclear and prune juice is crazy.
Dirty martinis. I make dirty martinis at home. And I also... my wife likes Cosmos. I'll make Cosmos when she has friends over. So, I mean, I do have the full bar at the house. Like,
Oh, you do.
I like to...
Yeah. That's...
With all the accoutrement. I mean,
Of course.
Yeah.
Maraschino cherries.
Oh,
different mixers.
No, I have Luxardo cherries. I might have maraschino cherries hiding somewhere, but Luxardo, like,
isn't Luxardo just a fancy maraschino cherry?
No, they're much different.
Are they alcohol dipped?
No,
soaked.
Yeah, but they're in a heavy syrup. Yeah, they're the bomb.
Hang on, my brain might be melting. Which is a maraschino cherry like a brand?
Maraschino cherry is like the bright
Luxardo maraschino cherries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just a fancy.
The bright red cherry that you throw in, like
right. That's a cheap maraschino cherry.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, you have the good stuff.
Yeah, I've got the good stuff.
There's nothing worse than when you go to a bar and you order a drink and there's a maraschino cherry in it, and you go to eat that cherry and it's like vodka or Everclear soaked.
Oh yeah.
No. Oh. That's not pleasant.
Well, that, and if you're going to get an old fashioned and they make it with like cheap cherries, you're like, okay, let's just not make that drink anymore.
1,000%.
You can just stop. Well, just give me another drink and I'll pay for this one. But just give me a different drink that's not that.
If there's a bright red maraschino cherry and multiple ice cubes, I probably don't want the old fashioned.
It better be a Shirley Temple. If that's what you're handing me, it better be a Shirley Temple.
Give me a whiskey neat at that point.
That's right.
Victor Wembanyama visited Golden 1 Center last night, and I came away mostly impressed. Like, he's very clearly an awesome player, but he was definitely more rookie-ish than I was anticipating. There were more moments last night. There were the incredible, like, there's things he can do on the basketball court because of his size and athleticism that are just different, right? But there were more plays than I was anticipating where it was just a, like, what was that? What is he? That was a rookie basketball play. And I know he is a rookie, but he played professionally in France for so long. And we've just heard about Victor Wembanyama for so long that not that I didn't anticipate, hey, he's going to have some rookie hiccups, but he's been so good. He's 20-10. With 3 blocks a game and 3 assists and a steal and a half or whatever he's at, 1.1 steals, I think it is. But also, it's like, oh yeah, he's still a rookie in the NBA. Still his first year in the best league in the world.
Yeah, Kyle, I think what stands out is his greatness, despite the fact that he isn't great at anything yet. And, you know, even talking to Popovich before the game, Pop said, like, they asked, what is it that he needs to work on second half? What are you hoping? Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, he's got to stop turning the ball over so much.
Yeah.
And like, he just needs to get stronger and stronger within a play. And he needs to be better at just like being solid.
Yes.
Because
he got pushed around a lot last night.
Yeah. But I think it wasn't even that. It's that like, he's already a really good rebounder, top 10 in the league or top 15 at 10 a game. But he does that without positioning yet. He does that without being strong enough to push people off the blocks.
Just all size.
He's the best shot blocker in the league, but he does that without, again, he can still get pushed under the basket. Mm-hmm. He can still have all these things happen. He's a great shooter, but, you know, it's not all the way there. He needs to be stronger and more like stable with what he's doing every step of the way. And the fact that you walk away from a game saying, man, I wish he was a little bit better. And then you look at what he did and you're like, okay, I wish you were better, but he had 19 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 blocks, 5 steals. And he turned the ball over one time in 31 minutes,
man.
Like, it's just ridiculous what we're watching. And I think the Kings, like, this is a good game for Victor Wembanyama to learn from.
Yeah.
Because Sabonis is unique and difficult and like a bull in a china shop. Like, he's just going to knock you down.
Yep.
And there's a couple times he did knock Victor Wembanyama down.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for him. He needs to learn that there's going to be that guy. There's going to be a Steven Adams. But there's also going to be like an Alperen Şengün. And then there's going to be a Bam Adebayo. And there's going to be an Anthony Davis. And all of these players are so uniquely different. And that's what this is about. It's about him learning that for right now, he's like this giant stick figure. And eventually, every other team in the league is going to be talking about having to go up against him and what that means and how you're going to game plan and stop him. As of right now, I don't even think you have to do that.
We were talking about this before the game, me and D'Lo and KC. What is his, and you and I got into this a little bit on air yesterday, but I want to dive in now that we've actually gotten to see him play. What is a peak Victor Wembanyama season even look like? Where he does, like, let's say he does fill out and he isn't just so easily moved around, particularly under the basket. Is it 32-15?
It's probably more like 32-15-5, three blocks, a steal. Like, it's going to be one of the greatest statistical players we've ever seen. And, like, getting to see him in year one, it's a joy. Like, that's why I told people yesterday, go out and see this.
Yes.
What he is today and what he's going to be, like, you see the outline of greatness. Yes. And the fact that Popovich is there riding him the whole time.
Yes.
Like, he is not an easy coach to play for, but the fact that he said, I'll stick around. Yep. And he, Pop even talked about, like, David Robinson. He's like, there are games early in David Robinson's career where it's like, man, I didn't even really feel him tonight. What happened? And then you get in the locker room and you grab the box score and it's 20-12 with 5 assists and 2 blocks. And you're like,
no,
what? This is not the game I just saw.
Yeah.
And right. That's what you saw from Wembanyama.
It's a great point.
Yeah, you saw from him last night. You're like, that is not what I thought I saw.
And he's very fortunate that he gets to play for Pop.
Yeah.
Because there Pop, you just talked about it. There was a play last night where he did something I can't remember if he got blown by or pushed under the basket or something.
Sabonis crossed him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And Pop calls a timeout. And walks onto the court and just lays into Wembanyama as he's walking off the court.
Yeah.
And, you know, pats him on the ass afterwards and says, you know, go. But having that coach and being on a team where he's getting to learn, like, it's really clear. I think the Spurs had 2 or 3 turnovers just on, like, hey, let's throw it up high and see if Wemby can go get it.
Oh, yeah.
And they just airmailed it and he wasn't ready for it or whatever. But he's on a team that, A, plays hard. B has a very, very good coach, one of the best coaches of all time, and is in an environment where he can make mistakes without getting it. I go back to how the Warriors have dealt with their rookies the last few years, where it's been like, hey, you make a mistake, you're done.
Yeah.
And that hinders your development. Whereas Wembanyama, it's like, hey, you made a mistake, you're going to get chewed out for it, but also go work through it. And that's a great spot to be in. I think Keegan Murray was in a similar spot last year. He wasn't as raw as Wembanyama was. I think he was more ready to contribute to a title contender.
Yeah.
Or a playoff team. But, man, it was, the flashes last night were incredible.
I posted a video of him in warmups, and it's just remarkable watching him work. There's even he caught a ball like in the air and then just hammered it down. But it was like just the hand motion where he had to catch it.
Yeah.
And then to get back to dunk it.
Yeah.
Was wild.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that just the physical tools he has, we've never seen anything like
that. He tried to do a windmill pregame, but he can't even do a windmill because he doesn't, he can't, like, the physics of, you have to jump X amount of space to get a windmill in, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know, I do them all the time. So, like... But you have to jump like X amount of space just physically to get your arm around, but he can't get his arm like all, so he does a windmill, but it's very like truncated because if he jumps that high, he's going to be too high above the rim to get the ball.
There is even a dunk he had where he's like, it's like he was a bunny. He's like jumping,
setting it like chest high.
He's like, his head's like right there, like, I'm over the top. Like, yeah.
You and I were standing in the hall. This was wild. Is we were standing in the hallway in the bowels of Golden One Center.
Yeah.
And Wembanyama's walking through because the visitor's locker room's right there by the media workroom. and he comes walking out. They are 8 foot high doors. He didn't have to duck to get under, but it was touch and go.
But you can.
It was a little dicey that he was like, that it was like not going to bang much. His head.
Yeah, you're like, holy cow, that is crazy.
I've never even considered those doorways because I don't like.
A standard door in a house is 6'10". That's what they call it, a 6'10" door.
Right.
So he can't get through a standard door in a house without like ducking a foot in.
Yeah, getting. All the way.
Yeah, that's wild.
Lived up to the hype.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Was there a concern from you? Okay, so we talked about this like yesterday, and Mike Brown has this idea that like if the Kings speed up their pace, if the Kings defend the 3-point line, if the Kings get to the foul line more and shoot better from the free throw line, then they can clear up these basic things that they're doing wrong, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we were going through. Like, there's some basic tenets that the Kings need to do.
Mm-hmm.
We get into the game. They don't defend the 3-point line. Their pace is 101, which isn't great, but it's not bad. And they get to the free throw line like 14 times, and they don't hit them. They shoot 71% from the line. Mm-hmm. Everything that we talked about on practice the day before did not show up in the game. They're the same exact group that we saw the day. And I don't know if it's because it's the Spurs or whatever, but again, the Kings 10 of 14 from the free throw line, they shoot 71.4%. That's who they are.
But I think the difference for me is they did all that, but still won. They did all that, but still got a W. It felt like the first 54 games, if they had a game like that, they weren't going to win it. Because I said that when Wembanyama had the and one to put them ahead by one,
yeah,
like this is where this game goes sideways. It was where a bad three goes up, the Spurs come down.
Bad three did go up, they hit the three, they went down four.
And okay, now it's a loss. And then it wasn't. And that's where, okay, maybe big picture, this doesn't look that different, but man, the difference between winning and losing last night, we already talked about the rest of the West, basically, outside of the Suns, who played the Mavs, won. Yeah. And it would have just been a catastrophe if they lost, and they found a way to win. Again, another one. This is two wins in a row where they found a way to win, where they haven't played their best. Damian Barling, here with the handoff. Let me make sure your mic is on and up. Nope, that's the wrong mic. There it is.
I got you.
Thanks, hey, man. Thank you for knowing how to do my job.
Yeah, that's fine. I can press the button right here.
That's right. You could do... Oh, man. I'm still getting used to this studio.
It's literally right here.
Getting used to the workflow.
It's different. It's fine. I'm glad you guys are in the same room together.
It's so much better. It's so much
better. Yeah, that glass is tough.
It really is.
That glass was not meant for a two-person show.
Correct.
It was meant for, you know, Jesse to jump in and do his producer work and then, you know, chime in when he wants to. And it was meant for DJ Complex to mix in there. But the idiots who preceded us... didn't map that out properly. So now our amazing team is trying to fix it.
Mm. Oh.
We've employed a lot of stupid people over the years.
You mean I'll be able to sit in there someday and watch Complex Mix live?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, no, it's fire. Yeah, that dude can go. It's fire.
He's one of those, I don't want to get into a conversation about Complex. Nobody knows him. Doesn't look
they
like
know Complex. We tell him about him all the time.
Doesn't look like any big sports fan.
Hilarious.
doesn't look like he would be an awesome DJ.
Command a 7,000 seat room. Yeah. Yes.
Does not look like that at all.
He knows music,
but he very
though.
Much does. But he very he much music. Does.
Yep.
Kings 127, Spurs 122. I wanted to come in here today. I thought last night, I'm going, man, you know what? That wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, but then the more I thought about it, it's like, man, I can't get on the radio and be like, hey, they need to figure out a way to win these games. And then when they figure out a way to win the game, coming to be like, yeah, but different than that.
Yeah.
So I'm landing in the, not necessarily in a win is a win, but James just said it. They did all these things, all the earmarks of a bad Kings game, and they found a way to pull out a victory, which is not what they had done earlier in the year. So ultimately, last night was a step forward for me.
It is, and you know, records aside, like the Spurs aren't the Pistons.
Correct.
Right? They're not the
there
Wizards.
There are levels like to being bad.
Yeah,
no, that's true.
Yeah, they're not the same. And this is a team that has a direction for the rest of the year, and they're going to bust their ass the final 27, 26 games of the year, whatever it is for San Antonio. They're going to play. I think if you're a Kings fan or you wanted to take that stance on the radio, the concerning thing or the frustrating thing is, okay, Mike talked about it, De'Aaron talked about it, Malik talked about it, everybody talked about this three-point defense, and it didn't matter at all. Now, again, levels to this, right? I think at one point the Spurs were like 5 of 6 or 5 of 7. So it means they finished like 6 of 20 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Like I know they didn't wind up taking a ton of threes.
Yeah, 25.
25. So they started white hot and then cooled down, you know, quite a bit. The scary part was they hit threes at a point where you felt like it was really, really going to matter. Mm-hmm. And thankfully for the second straight game, De'Aaron Fox stepped in and said, "Oh, I got it.
Yeah,
I got it. I'm gonna close this thing out. Both ends of the floor. I got it." So you can be upset if they didn't win the way you wanted them to. You could be upset that they didn't defend the three, but they won on a night that Dallas won, on a night that Golden State won,
mm-hmm.
On a night that I think New Orleans won. Mm-hmm. So you can't, hey. Take the dub. Keep it moving. Phoenix lost. Phoenix plays again tonight. And it's what we talked about yesterday. We're going to be scoreboard watching the rest of the season.
Yeah.
This is not the, hey, the Kings are in the pole position right now to finish in the three or the two spot. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we're watching every night to see what happens. There's not going to be any taking your foot off the gas the final week of the season like there was last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My concern isn't like the way they won, the way they lost. My concern is that you talked about these very basic tenets that they're going to do better in the second half. And it was very specific. We're going to turn up the pace. We're going to get more paint touches, and a better pace will lead to more free throws. And then we're going to hit our free throws. Mm-hmm. Pace wasn't there. It was okay. They didn't get to the free throw line. And when they did get to the free throw line, they didn't hit their free throws. And hey, we're going to be better defending the three, and the team that's the worst team in the NBA shoots 44% from three. So yep. It's almost like the things that, like, okay, I told you, these are the basics. This is how we're getting better. You repeated them back to me, and you repeated them back to the media. Where are they? Yep. And so that's where I think this team has to, like, continuously look at themselves in the mirror and say, how do I take the next step? How do I get better? Yep.
Right. You're 100% right. All of that is fair in the next 27 game assessment, right?
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
fair leading into the Clippers. It's fair leading mm-hmm. into every game after that. It's a fair assessment of what happened yesterday. And it's also part of the story of they did win.
Yes.
And I think that's how we can take these like long-term evaluations 10 games, 20 games, 30 games into the season. Now we're 50. Look, man, this just might be who the Kings are.
Yeah.
And they've got to, like, survive every night. They've got to survive poor three-point defense. They got to potentially survive bad free throw shooting. And they got to survive what is regularly their ups and downs. It's like they challenge, I think I said this to Kyle yesterday, they challenge teams to a three-point fight and then just lose the first four rounds. They just get punched in the face repeatedly. Kings are like 2 of 14. The Spurs are like 5 of 7. And it's like, all right, dude. But it starts to balance out as the mm-hmm. game moves along.
Yeah.
And I think Herter was the only one hitting shots at the beginning of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Started 4 or 5.
And
hit his first four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The team collectively, though, Malik, De'Aaron, got things going there mm-hmm. At the end. This just might be it. They've got to survive every game that they play.
Yep.
And it's a nerve-wracking way for Kings fans to live, but it could be what they're looking at.
But they're you said it. That's been the case all year. It's like, man, they've got to figure out a way to survive these games, and they weren't early in the year. They were rolling over and dying.
Mm.
And now they're starting to show some fight, and that's good.
That was impressive. Like I thought they were losing.
I did too.
Like I don't like.
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't think they were gonna. But here would be my counter. It's that you know how to fix what's going on. I want to see at least improvement against a team like the Spurs that is not very good. because the next four teams are very good, and you couldn't show improvement in against a bad team. How are you going to show improvement against a good team? Mm-hmm. And I guess there's going to be those nights where the other team doesn't hit their threes, and you're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
But there are the other nights where they do. Or there's going to be games where you beat someone by 15, and you don't have to worry about missing free throws.
I know. Is there something to be said for good teams being a little bit more formulaic? Like, you're going into this game against the Clippers. You know what the Clippers are going to do, right? You know.
Yeah.
Now, you've got to stop it. That's an entirely different conversation. But mm-hmm. you got Kawhi. You got Paul George. Like, yeah. You've got that group. You know what they have. When you've got a team like San Antonio, who is legitimately busting it, you don't really know what you're going to get from them on a night-to-night basis, but you have a bunch of guys who are going to be trying extremely hard on that team.
Yeah.
And that could be a little bit more unpredictable. I'm not trying to excuse them. There was a stretch there at the end of the second half that was infuriating. Or excuse me, the end of the first half.
Yeah.
That was infuriating on the defensive end. Just get to the basket, get to the basket, get to the basket. It's like eight straight points.
Yeah.
I think it was all on one defender, too. That's infuriating.
Yeah.
But, again, we're expecting them to change now. I don't think they are.
I was going to ask you your Victor Wembanyama thoughts, but we got to get out of here in 10 seconds. Okay. And you have 4 hours to talk about Victor Wembanyama as much as you want.
And
coming
you'll
up.
Be back in 15 minutes.
I'll be so back in 15 minutes. Yeah,
there
some good news for the 49ers today. We'll talk about that. I will dive in on D'Lo and KC. That is coming up next right here on ESPN 1320. Have a great and safe weekend, everybody. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.